Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is MPB News.
Hi, this is Karen Brown. Thanks for checking out the Mississippi Edition podcast. If you like what you hear, click subscribe, hit like, or leave us a comment if your app has that feature. Then find other MPB podcasts by searching MPB Think Radio on your favorite podcasting platform. Thanks. Good morning. It's 8:30 on Friday, March 19th. I'm Karen Brown, and this is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. On today's show, the founder of a Jackson private school and her son plead not guilty to federal charges of wire fraud and money laundering. Then, a number of spring deadlines approach for students seeking opportunities in higher education. Plus, actor and comedian Jay Jordan shares what it's like to be Black, queer, and Southern in New York City. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio. Two defendants from last year's shocking Department of Human Services scandal are facing new federal charges, including wire fraud and falsifying claims to the State Department of Education. Nancy New and her son Zachary operated the private New Summit School in Jackson. Yesterday, the pair appeared in federal court and pled not guilty to a 17-count indictment that also included aggravated identity theft. The indictment alleges the News committed the crimes between 2017 and 2020, receiving more than $2 million from the Mississippi Adequate Education Program. The News attorneys say they haven't seen anything that would prove a crime occurred, and their clients look forward to going to court. All the charges the pair face could mean up to 210 years in prison if they're found guilty. Matt Steffi is a professor at the Mississippi College School of Law. He breaks down the charges and the next steps with our Desiree Frazier.
It's an extremely serious set of charges. When this indictment alleges that the defendants made teachers out of thin air, made teachers out of non-teacher employees, made teachers out of former teachers, in order to receive reimbursement from or receive payment from the state, made up students that didn't exist, or created current students out of students that had left in order to receive payment from the state, conspired to do so, and then pulled that money out through routing it through some accounts for their personal gain, thereby committing money laundering. The charges, I don't know what the sentencing guidelines say, but the upper limit of these charges would keep both these defendants in prison the rest of their lives. Now, I don't think that's necessarily a likely outcome by any means, but it shows the gravity of the charges, where most of them carry up to 20 years in prison.
Well, it's interesting because I have been over to the New Summit School and had interviewed parents, and parents swore by the school and what it was doing to help their children who had special needs.
And that's an aspect of this that plays both ways. If this is taking advantage of a school and funds set aside for special needs kids to enrich oneself, there's a special kind of moral callousness to it. And it may be that more than one thing is true. It may be that there are students who are being well served by the school while these defendants are also using it to enrich themselves.
And the grand jury in the indictment, it says that money was also given to other people who are not named. Is it possible that there may be more indictments and we just don't know who they are yet?
It's always possible that there are more indictments, especially if one of these defendants becomes a cooperating witness, takes a plea, and in exchange for the hope of a lesser sentence agrees to cooperate with the prosecution.
Now that the indictment has been unsealed, what would be the estimated time frame that you would think that this case would move forward and be resolved?
Well, there are certainly steps forward, including plea negotiations, I would expect in the coming months. It's very hard to estimate, given the pandemic, when a potential trial would be scheduled. I would think within the next year.
Also, you can shed some light on this, hopefully. The federal indictment was issued more than a year after the state auditor announced that Nancy New and her son were also involved in embezzling money from the Mississippi Department of Human Services.
Yeah.
DHS is not mentioned in this indictment. Will there be a separate case involving the Department of Human Services, you think, naming them as conspirators?
That seems quite likely, either at the federal level or potentially even at the state level. It's possible for some state charges to still emerge, or it's possible that that's the next shoe to drop in federal court.
If you were their attorney, what kind of argument would you use?
Well, you would hope that you can account for the money going into the operation of the school, not to the personal enrichment of the defendants. That would be one potential line of defense, that these are just accounting glitches, not an effort to defraud the state, to enrich themselves personally. Whether the facts line up that way or not, we'll see. And of course, we don't know who the prime, if there is a prime mover in this. The other, you know, it's tough when family members to try to drive a wedge between mother and son. But if the mother was the driving force, for example, and the son along for the ride, their defenses may diverge.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that's important to note about this case?
I think at this point, no. I think it's always important to remember that this represents the prosecution's argument. We haven't heard from the defendants yet. And so I always leave out room for the possibility that there's another side to this. I think that's especially true when this is just one part of the potential criminality. It could be worse than we now think or less serious than we now think. But this is the first formal step in resolving this matter legally, the first formal initiation of legal proceedings, not the last.
Matt Steffi, professor of law at the Mississippi College School of Law, thank you so much for providing your insight on this issue.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you for speaking with me.
The news trial is set for May 3rd. The judge instructed them not to have any contact with potential witnesses, including current or former employees. The state auditor, who issued local indictments last year against Nancy and Zach New, along with four others, released a statement saying this case is another step toward justice for the taxpayers. Mississippi legislators have agreed on a teacher pay raise plan that Governor Tate Reeves is expected to sign. House Bill 852 would give most teachers a $1,000 pay raise. Newer teachers would get $1,100. Education Chairman Richard Bennett presented the measure on the House floor, asking his colleagues to support it.
We're trying to weigh the balance of what the taxpayer can handle and what we can do for the teachers. So we may be coming back to you before this session is over to ask for a suspension to do a little more, a little something here.
The measure passed 119-2. The average teacher salary in Mississippi is just over $45,000. Coming up, a number of spring deadlines approach for students seeking opportunities in higher education. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Hey, this is Larry Morrissey with the Mississippi Arts Commission. I'm one of the hosts of the Mississippi Arts Hour, the arts interview show on Think Radio. We talk with visual artists, musicians, writers, as well as people who help bring the arts to their communities. We hear about how each artist learned their craft and get some insight into their creative process. You can hear the Arts Hour every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Think Radio, or listen anytime by subscribing to the show through your favorite podcasting app.
The This is Mississippi Edition. I'm Karen Brown. For many high school upperclassmen, the school year and the preparation for post-secondary education has been altered due to the year-long coronavirus pandemic. But the process to qualify for colleges and universities is still underway as spring deadlines approach. Stephen Brown is with Get to College. He shares more on the many opportunities available for students seeking higher education.
April is really significant ACT test because that's one of the 3 dates where they offer something called TIR, or test information release, where students have the option to pay an extra $22 and they will get back their entire test booklet. They'll see all the questions, which one they missed, and what the right answer should have been, so they know exactly what they need to study before they take the next test. And I said it's only available for April, June, and December. So this one's a big deal.
If you don't do well on the test in April, you can retake it in June?
Well, it wouldn't be the same test, but
right.
You can see, okay, well, it looks like I did well on the algebra questions, but I missed a lot of geometry questions. So you know you need to go back and study your formulas, and you'll see the types of questions that you were missing consistently.
And again in December?
That's correct. And even if you don't register for that, even if you don't sign up for that TIR when you register to take the test, they actually give you up to 6 months after that test date where you can still order it. So students who even took the the December test of 2020 can still get theirs right now.
Let's move on to FAFSA, which stands for Free Application for Federal Student Aid. Everybody, anybody who wants to get some financial aid to go to college has to apply for FAFSA. How complicated is it?
The FAFSA can be extremely complicated, and it changes just slightly from year to year. So we as a staff try to do our best to be, you know, in front of the curve, or ahead of the curve, rather, to make sure that when parents need help, we can definitely assist them with the FAFSA. So truthfully, we encourage, and I know at least I personally encourage parents to not touch it at all if they're going to get us to help with it, because it's much easier to start from scratch and we can finish in about 15 to 20 minutes than if we have to go back and correct things that were done incorrectly initially.
Even though it says federal student aid, isn't it true that you apply for FAFSA and you can also qualify for scholarships from private universities or state financial aid?
Right. So FAFSA, colleges also use the FAFSA because it helps determine your EFC, or what's called your expected family contribution. And so that's based on your household size and income, what they've calculated to be the amount that your parents or your household should be able to put towards your college education. Well, the reason that number is significant, that EFC number that's calculated, is because just because a student doesn't qualify for a Pell Grant, a federal Pell Grant, you know, after completing the FAFSA, based on their family's household income, they may qualify for some need-based scholarships from that private university. For example, at Stanford in California, if you make less than $125,000 a year, you will qualify for full tuition because the cost of living is so much different out there. But if a family doesn't complete the FAFSA because they say we won't get a Pell Grant, you would totally miss out on that other need-based aid. And then, yes, the state of Mississippi also has some grants that also factor in your FAFSA and your household income as well.
If a student is planning to start college in the fall, what is the deadline for them to complete their FAFSA application?
So that's a tricky question because there's not an exact deadline. Now, it has been open since October 1st of 2020, and that's the date that the FAFSA opens every year. Now, for some priority deadlines at the school, individual colleges may want it on a certain date. Like they may say March 15th, or some were even January 1st. But the big date that we want to make sure people are familiar with is the March 31st deadline. As far as the help grant from the state of Mississippi, and then the FAFSA is one of those components they have to have completed for the help grant, and all that has to be submitted before April 30th.
All right, let's move on to the help grant. What is it?
The help grant is from the state of Mississippi. That's the Higher Education Legislative Plan for Needy Students. That's where students have to have at least a 2.5 GPA, at least a 20 composite score on the ACT. They have to take the college prep curriculum plus one advanced elective, so basically the classes that they need to graduate from high school. And they have to meet, they have to be Pell eligible and meet the family income requirements. And I can tell you really quick what that is. If they are the only child in their household, the most that their parents' income could be, and I mean adjusted gross income, would be $39,500 or less. Now, for every sibling they have in the household that is under 21 years of age, they can add $5,000 to that number per sibling. And as long as they meet those requirements, the HELP grant will pay their full tuition and fees all 4 years to any public institution in the state of Mississippi, any public school in the state. If they wanted to go to a private, it'll pay the average of the public schools in the state.
What are some other options to pay for college?
So some of the biggest options is for students to actually go the route of community college. Because we have 15 community colleges in the state of Mississippi, and all of them are roughly around the same amount for tuition, so that's right around about $3,000, which is much more affordable for a lot of families than, say, $26,000. And as long as students earn at least 12 hours of college credit and at least a 3.5 GPA from that community college, they'll be invited to join this honor society called Phi Theta Kappa, so that when they do transfer to a university, they can get transfer scholarships.
Well, certainly many opportunities for kids to go to college who thought maybe they couldn't afford to. Where can people find more information about all of what you discussed, Stephen?
First and foremost, gettocollege.org, GET2college.org. That is our website. Best way to reach us. We have a chat feature on there. We can even reply to text. Like, we have a lot of different ways that you can contact us. So they can just call the office as well at 601-321-5533. And we are more than happy to help. All of these services are 100% free.
Stephen Brown is the Get to College Assistant Director of Outreach. Thank you so much. Some really great information.
Oh, yes, you too. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. I know I look forward to it every year.
Coming up, actor and comedian Jay Durden shares what it's like to be Black, queer, and Southern in New York City. This is Mississippi Edition on MPB Think Radio.
Hi, I'm Walt Grayson. You can now listen to the wild, weird, and wonderful stories of Mississippi with Mile Marker.
We are now You Could Drive In Theater. We're the last operating drive-in in the state of Mississippi.
Join me as we hit the roads of Mississippi on Mile Marker.
Freak me out that you could come and drive your car and park and watch the movie outside.
You can listen by going to mpbonline.org/radio or by using your favorite podcasting app, Mile Marker, a Mississippi Roads podcast.
This podcast is a local production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting and depends on the support of listeners like you. If you can, please donate today at mpbonline.org. And thanks.
This is Mississippi Edition. I'm Karen Brown. Jay Durden may be based out of New York City, but the actor and comedian credits his career trajectory to growing up in Mississippi. Durden, who has appeared on The Tonight Show, The Late Show, Comedy Central, and HBO, developed his love for comedy and performing as a student in the APAC program in Jackson Public Schools. In this week's installment of the Mississippi Arts Hour, he tells the Mississippi Arts Commission's Leslie Barker how his experience informs his material.
This is a particularly special interview for me because Jay was a student of mine when I taught at Power APAC many years ago, my first real job out of college. So it's amazing to be able to have this conversation. So thank you for being here, Jay.
Thank you for having me. I have to credit JPS, particularly Power APAC. I think it's the Ida B. Wells School now.
It is. You're right.
Yeah, they gave me so many cool opportunities I don't think I would have had throughout all the way through 12th grade. So shout out to Power APAC.
So tell us a little bit about how you use your comedic voice to say things that need to be heard.
Oh, as a Black man in 2021 who's from Mississippi, who's also queer, there are so many very specific experiences that I've had or that resonate with me that might not be viewed as quote-unquote mainstream, but I think hearing from marginalized voices or people who have new POVs is kind of what comedy is about right now, like storytelling that decenters what we've been hearing for so long. And that's what I try to do with anything comedically. Like I'm from Canton, but like I'm from Mississippi, and that will never not be something that people bring up in regards to my comedy. So I think that's another reason why I say, oh, if I want to talk about this, let me see if I can make this subject, but let me see if I can play with like the heavy and the light of this thing.
What's your favorite part about comedy? What's the best part?
Oh, I love it's to me, it's the same feeling as jumping out of a plane or like jumping off of a diving board before you hit the water. So with a very, very good comedian, there is a tiny amount of space between the last word they say and then the punchline and then like the laugh from the audience. So that little space, that gap is like, I mean, you don't want to get too cheesy and make everything about 80s movies, but that's like the danger zone. There's like a space between whether or not you know something's going to be funny. And it's bigger whenever it's something new or it just feels bigger. So whenever like a new joke lands, it just feels so good that you said, this is funny to me. I want to make it work. I want to make it funny for other people. Let's test it out.
Jordan, who uses his Mississippi roots in his comedy, credits his success to growing up in the Magnolia State.
I'm from Mississippi, and that will never not be something that people bring up in regards to my comedy. So I think that's another reason why I say, oh, if I want to talk about this, let me see if I can make this subject, but let me see if I can play with like the heavy and the light of this thing.
That's really interesting to hear about how you have to balance that. Like, how do you balance that? Like the heavy and the light?
I think you have to make it so uproariously funny that people almost forget. And then you catch them. I have like a new joke that isn't on my album that I wrote. I probably wrote this joke in 2018 and it just didn't make it on my album. But it's one of my favorite jokes where I say people have such an instant reaction when you tell them you're from Mississippi. They'll say, oh, you're from Mississippi. Oh, Jay, you must be happy to be in New York. The racism down there must be so pronounced. And I just tell them, y'all pronounce it just fine up here.
Has that led to any really interesting conversations with people?
Oh, yeah. People, sometimes when people don't believe you, you're like, well, I don't have any reason to lie about it. There's no reason for you to think, oh, I'm making up that I'm from Mississippi. And so people after shows will be like, oh, wow, that's insane. But I think that for the most part, everyone has been very complimentary after they like hear the way I talk about Mississippi. And it's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to not acknowledge where you're from? I wouldn't be as funny if I wasn't from Mississippi. I would stake my entire career trajectory on that. I don't even think I'd be doing comedy if I wasn't from Mississippi.
Really?
No. It's because to do comedy, you have to have some sort of tension. And Mississippi creates the most tension possible for a black person, for like a young progressive person, for a queer person, because it's not necessarily your family that like is saying this is how things have to be, but it is like your home state. So you have like this fun foil like from the beginning.
Hear more from actor-comedian Jay Jordan and Leslie Barker of the Mississippi Arts Commission on the Mississippi Arts Hour, Sunday at 5 here on Think Radio. This has been Mississippi Edition. Thanks for listening to the Mississippi Edition podcast from MPB News and MPB Think Radio. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already, and if your app lets you, leave a comment or review. We really do appreciate it. Remember, you can always get in touch with MPB News on Facebook and Twitter, and fresh episodes of the podcast are posted every weekday morning. I'm Karen Brown. Thanks for listening. This is Mississippi Edition from MPB Think Radio.